The United Nations Climate Summit wrapped up on Tuesday evening with an assortment of non-binding pledges from member nations. UN Secretary Ban Ki-moon was optimistic about the outcome.
Today was a great day, a historic day. Never before have so many leaders gathered to commit to action on climate change. I thank every one of you who came to New York with ambition and commitment. I asked for bold announcements from governments, business, finance, and civil society in five key areas. The summit delivered.
Among one of the more celebrated initiatives to come out of the talks involved promises of ending deforestation and restoring 1 million square miles of forest worldwide by 2030. Co-signers included the United States, the entire European Union, and Canada. Brazil, home to part of the world's largest forest, the Amazon, did not endorse because its officials say they were not included in negotiations. An initiative supported by big bankers and large industries involves putting a price on carbon in order to create a worldwide carbon credits market. Critics of this measure say it not only creates the illusion of emission reductions, but it also fuels financial speculation and allows the rich to pollute the poor. The role of financial institutions in shaping climate policy was part of what prompted around 2,000 protesters to quote-unquote flood Wall Street on Monday. Demonstrators staged an hours-long sit-in around the Brass Ball, the financial district's iconic sculpture. Sarah Redmond was among the protesters risking arrest.
We came because we're Unitarian Universalists, and we came because our religion tells us that we need to protect the earth. So that's why we came. And I have six grandchildren, and I want them to have a livable planet and everybody else's kids.
As the sun set, police gave an order to disperse and later arrested more than 100 people who refused to leave the area, including a person in a polar bear costume. Many of those who participated in the Flood Wall Street action on Monday had come to New York for the People's Climate March on Sunday.
Where do we want it? Where do we want? Where do we want it?
What do we want? Organizers of the People's Climate March estimated more than 400,000 people participated, quadrupling their expectations of what they were already billing as the largest climate march in history. The march drew people from around the U.S. and even from other countries. It sought to unite a variety of different causes which intersect with climate issues, including issues like indigenous land recognition, environmental racism, the anti-fracking movement, and more. Signs included slogans like "Wake up and smell the CO2," "There's no planet B," and "Nature is not a luxury." Sister events in 150 countries took place in Berlin to Istanbul to Rio. Madeleine Hoffman, a New Jersey-based peace activist, says her anti-war position also intersects with climate activism.
For every war and every tank and every soldier, I mean, the U.S. military uses so much fossil fuel that it has added to the climate change problem. We use more in the process of waging war than we actually get in return. So it's a net energy loss. We want to see the nation get off of oil, not just the nation, the world, and going to renewables. And then if we stop the wars, we'll be able to save those resources too. Human, financial, environmental, all those resources.
Now that the UN climate summit is over and the out-of-town demonstrators have returned home, many are looking ahead to the next time world leaders plan to meet on the climate issue. The next UN meeting will take place in Lima, Peru in December, and a larger, more formal summit is scheduled for next year in Paris. Between then and now, the leaders who made promises in New York this week can either show the international community their pledges are serious or just more hot air. Rebecca Miles, Free Speech Radio News, New York.